The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. Getting back to normal, question mark? What is normal around here anymore, Dom?
Happy Hump Day. Happy National Tequila Day. Hope everyone celebrates tonight. Thank you, Rich, working the board. Our fair audience can join us on the political party line, 844-967-2789.
Dom, we've got Angela Lang from Black Leaders Organizing Community at 4:30 today, and we've got some new sound from the Vice President. She was apparently addressing one of the Divine Nine. This is one of the historically black colleges, sororities, and she was part of one of the Divine Nine. She was an Alpha Kappa Alpha, my understanding, Dom. I've learned a lot about her time in the sororities of late, but anyways, she gave a speech in Indianapolis, I believe, in front of about 6,000 sorority sisters. And Joe Biden will speak tonight. And Dom, you told me you're actually quite interested in what Joe Biden may have to say about his exit from the race. Why?
I want to hear it from his mouth. When we heard, you know, we saw the tweets and the comments or the letter that was released. But I'm very interested to hear what the president has to say and how he frames this.
What about some of the righties' conspiracies that this isn't his normal signature and it's not his normal letterhead, so he didn't even know this had happened. Someone put this out on his
Paul
behalf.
Paul McCartney was replaced, and the Ultimate Warrior at the end was not the Ultimate Warrior that started out. Yeah, we can go down that road all day long, man. We can discuss the finer points of fiction to infinity. I don't like religion, but you know, they're flailing, man. The megas are flailing, and all they can drop to is you know, misogyny and racism.
It's not like the president Joe Biden doesn't have the right to address the nation whenever he wants to, but I would question why.
Equal time. You hear they're bitching about equal time. I've seen that reporting. They're trying to file lawsuits. So what?
For the Republican? the Republican president, Tom? Who gets equal time?
I'm just saying that the craziness and the fervor, the way that they're handling it is not great. They're defensive on all fronts. They're trying to stop Kamala Harris from getting access to the funds of the Biden-Harris campaign. I mean, it's the Biden-Harris campaign. Her name's in it. Well, they're doing everything and anything. And I guess we'll expect that. It will be a still a difficult campaign. It's still a lot of work to do. But at least we have someone in there now that people can rally around, someone that can frame the arguments and talk about the things that we care about without worrying about whether or not she's going to glaze over and stare at the television.
Well, we've got some sound of the vice president, now the Democratic Party's presidential nominee, presumptive at least. She's got the delegates. And, Rich, going to need your help here. Let's play some of the vice president. Let's hear how Kamala sounds today. Yesterday, I thought she met the moment. Her first speech in Milwaukee. I mean, the crowd loved her. Crudy loved her. I'm all in, man. Let's hear how she sounds today, sharing a vision. Play cut one, please.
I know who we all are. I know who is here. And I know, therefore, that we share a vision for the future of our nation. a future where every person has the opportunity not just to get by, but to get ahead.
Kamala Harris in Indianapolis, she's addressing sorority sisters here of Zeta Phi Beta. Their Blue Lay event in Indianapolis is the scene. Here's more from the Vice President, Kamala Harris. Cut to police, Rich.
When we organize, mountains move. When we mobilize, nations change. And when we vote, we make history.
I think they like her there.
Yeah, I think they do too.
More from Kamala Harris. Cut number three, please, Rich.
With your support, I am fighting for our nation's future. And let us be clear about what that future looks like. I know the leaders in this room, and I know the future we believe in and we fight for.
Kamala Harris speaking today. A few more. She talked about this yesterday as well. I think this will be a recurring theme. The two visions. Cut four, please.
Our nation needs your leadership once again. In this moment, I believe we face a choice between two different visions for our nation. One focused on the future, the other focused on the past.
Not just focused on the past, I'm actively lamenting that we're not in 1960 anymore, Congressman Glenn Grothman. Kamala Harris, a few more. Cut number five, referring to Joe Biden.
He cares about the future. He thinks about the future. He has extraordinary determination and profound compassion for the people of our country.
Joe Biden's speech, cut six, please.
So tonight, our president will address the nation about his decision to step down as a candidate. And he will talk about not only the work, the extraordinary work that he has accomplished, but about his work in the next 6 months.
Yeah, Joe's got lots of time to govern now, doesn't he? And he did say yesterday, I believe, or sorry, 2 days ago, when he called in to Delaware, when the vice president went to go visit the campaign staff, that he will be also campaigning for the vice president. One more from Kamala Harris today, fighting with hope. Cut number seven, please.
Let us continue to fight with optimism, with faith, and with hope. Because when we fight, we win. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. God bless you.
Kamala Harris.
We win, yeah.
I feel like she's more fired up in Milwaukee yesterday, but maybe that's just because I was there. You know, I had that effect on her. The whole room, in fact, they all seemed quite enthusiastic because I was there. You can spot me. I was wearing a red hat, Badger.
Yeah. Everyone was there to see you, Crudy. But the themes, man, again, not just getting by, getting ahead. When we fight, we win. The two visions. I mean, these are very specific. We heard them over and over again. Of course, her history of prosecuting perpetrators, fraudsters, sex abusers. You know what I'm saying? These are going to be the recurring themes over and over, and I cannot wait to see how that impacts this race.
Dom, from coverage at the Washington Post, sort of the dueling events, the vice president today and Donald Trump also going to take the rally stage, first time since Joe Biden dropped out of the race. Another statement from Kamala Harris, we are not going back. She told the crowd of thousands to big cheers. Now, Donald Trump, her Republican opponent, is set to take the stage a few hours later in Charlotte, North Carolina, where my brother and niece live, Dom, for his first rally since President Biden withdrew from the 2024 race, an event that will set the stage for Trump's new campaign against Harris. And the dueling appearances are a chance for each candidate to frame the stakes of the race as it plunges into uncharted territory, yeah, with Trump no longer running against his ideal opponent and Harris seeking to take charge of the Democratic ticket a little more than 100 days before the election. I think we're on 103 or 104, depending on how you count them, Dom. Democrats are hoping that Harris can refocus the contest on Trump's flaws. Yes, I'd also like to turn my attention to Trump's many, many flaws. while Republicans want to quickly define Harris and saddle her with Biden's weaknesses. That part's not going to work so well. Well, her former boss was old. Okay, yeah. He's not the boss anymore. Well, he's technically
and Donald
the president,
Trump is now the oldest candidate to run for the presidency in American history.
Don Biden's exit, triggered by, yeah, that guy's old, triggered
he's
by
old,
a dismal man. June debate performance has filled the Democrats with new hope for November. In a Wednesday morning memo, Harris campaign chair Jen O'Malley Dillon said the vice president is less known than Trump and Biden and opens up additional persuadable voters, especially in groups that lean Democrat. This race is more fluid now, I would say. Now, certainly. The Trump team, we told you what they were saying, Dom. Trump's team, meanwhile, is bracing for a Harris honeymoon that they say could intrude on Trump's summer of momentum. It's been Trump's hot summer up until now. That's over. And polling gains in Tuesday's memo. Trump pollster, I read some of this to you fine folks yesterday, Tony Fabrizio, predicted that Harris would see a polling bump starting in the next few days, but said it would pass. Again, this is Trump's pollster. With voters upset about inflation, the border, and other issues, he wrote, the fundamentals of the race stayed the same. No, they've changed entirely. And you don't know how to deal with it. The Trump team is so flabbergasted because they are so flat-footed. They knew this possibility did exist. They had actually researched this from internal memos as early as May. But they just have no credible response other than racism, misogyny, and bigotry. I mean, that's not going to warm up centrist voters, swing
you
voters.
Don't think, no, the suburban moms that aren't going to be down for the racism, bigotry, and all that. I mean, that's kind of the hallmark of the MAGA response to date. Even though Speaker Mike Johnson telling them, don't do that.
Could
you're
you
doing it.
Tone it down,
can't
please.
Help they can't help themselves.
Well, you know, they are not the party of Lincoln any longer, Dom. Do you see 3% of all the Republican delegates were non-white at the last convention in Milwaukee.
Ooh, wow,
3%.
3%.
That numerically, apparently, is 55. That's an improvement. In 2016, Dom, my understanding, Republicans had 17 black delegates in 2016. So they've tripled their support.
See? They're really moving over to MAGA.
They probably bled a few of those delegates back to Harris over the weekend. Just saying. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. And you, 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates. Radio for the 99%.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. Talk or text. Hit us up. 844-967-2789. Stick around. Angela Lang, Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
Dom, more on the event in Indianapolis that Kamala Harris is speaking at today from the coverage at the Washington Post. In interviews, black women gathered for the Grand Boulet, as it's called, said they were excited about Harris's candidacy, but also nervous about her chances. They worried that voters would hold her race and gender against her. Pardon me. If you had your eyes closed and you just go based on her qualifications versus Trump's qualifications, yes, she'd definitely win, said Laura Rice from Georgia. But they're not going to do that, she said. The white guy would have a better shot. She was referencing Biden as the white guy. Rep. Sidney Kamlinger Dove, a Democrat from California, a Zeta, again, she's speaking to sorority sisters, who traveled with Harris, drew massive applause when she called to, and here's her quote, Dom, reclaim the words that are being used against us, like diversity, equity, inclusion, justice, being the most qualified, and said, let's let our values lead us into a bold black and very female future, from Kamala Harris. Now, Hillary Clinton, Dom, we all know she seemed like she was going to be the first female president. Hillary Clinton, who made history as the country's only female presidential nominee from a major party. You know, she lost to Trump in 16, Dom. Some of the world still blame you for that. Actually, a few blame me. Wrote in a New York Times op-ed that Harris's record and character will be distorted and disparaged as she runs against Trump, and that she and the campaign will have to cut through the noise. Now, Stacey Incy Grant, the president and CEO of Zeta Phi Beta, said she was thrilled to have Harris speaking before the convention's roughly 6,000 attendees. It's hard to put into words what it feels like being living history, because that is where we are right now, she said. It's a serendipitous moment, Grant added. In her campaign memo, again, this is the Harris campaign now, Dom, O'Malley Dillon laid out her case for confidence in Harris. She led the charge on abortion rights, an issue in which Democrats have demonstrated a clear political advantage. In Milwaukee on Tuesday, she drew the campaign's largest crowd to date. Yeah, no doubt. And it could have been a larger crowd, I greatly suspect, them, if they'd have used a bigger venue. Some 126 million in donations have flooded into the campaign since Sunday, when Biden dropped out and endorsed Harris. And O'Malley Dillon said the campaign would continue to focus on the so-called blue wall states, you know, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, as well as the Sun Belt battlegrounds of Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, and North Carolina. We intend to play offense in each of these states and have the resources and campaign infrastructure to do so, she wrote. And Trump's campaign is trying to expand the map. The former president has another rally planned for Saturday evening in Minnesota, a state that Biden won by 7 points in 2020. Minnesota has had fine Democratic leadership under Tim Walz, Don. Minnesota's turning more progressive all the time because they're actually governing in a progressive way to the advantage of the citizenry there. So this is a fool's errand, I think.
Boy, you lost me at advantage of the citizenry. I mean, how's that going to help the rich old white guys, man?
Even as Trump's campaign pivots to attacking Harris, the former president has tried to keep the attention on Biden. What?
To what end?
This lying Kamala Harris think Joe Biden is fit to run the USA for the next 6 months? She must answer the question. Trump wrote on Truth Social, his social media site, on Tuesday. And Biden, of course, as we've talked about them, is scheduled to speak tonight from the Oval Office. After the sorority event, Harris went to Houston, where on Thursday she plans to speak to a convention of the American Federation of Teachers. Trump's team, eager to needle Harris about immigration policy, quickly highlighted her planned proximity to the southern border. Is that it? You know, she is going to be in Houston, so, you know, let's trash her on the border. Trump has several events lined up this week. Dom, he plans to speak Friday evening in West Palm Beach, Florida, you know, because he's going to grow the base where Mar-a-Lago's at. Right. An event hosted by the conservative group, that's the Charlie Kirk Group, Turning Point Action. And on Saturday, he will deliver a keynote speech. And I love how this article ends. It's coming in just a minute. Pay close attention. Trump will deliver a keynote speech at the Bitcoin conference in Nashville. You know, that's why all the Nazis probably marching there looking to welcome the Cheeto Messiah, underscoring Trump's newfound interest in cryptocurrency. Now, Trump was once skeptical of cryptocurrency, but has embraced it after aggressive, they call it, lobbying by executives in the industry.
Yeah,
lobbying means they literally gave the guy money to support their cause. I mean, this is the same quid pro quo he offered to the petroleum industry,
who are very much behind him. Crudy, the bubble burster, not me this time, Carville. James Carville on The Morning Joe.
I don't care what Carville says.
I want to share it because I care what he says, and I want to share this perspective with the audience. So you can just go sit in the corner then and allow me to read this. This has been a real change. There has been a real change in mood in the party and around the country, but we've got to be a little careful. About 10% too much Trumponism going on. And, you know, it's going to be a very difficult race. It's going to be very close. I understand that. People are feeling a lot better and excited, but that excitement has got to be tempered with realism. And the realism is that she has a tough campaign on. As you say, she got several things she's got to accomplish at the same time. But having said that, there's been real growth in Vice President Harris. I mean, you can just see the difference. And she just looked so confident to me yesterday. I didn't put the sound on. I just left the video. I liked what I saw. I'll be honest with you. Now, Mika says, yeah, tell me about that realism. Tell me about the realism of the months to come. You're right. And they're having to put a campaign together right away. They're obviously thinking about this ahead of time, but they got to accomplish between now and the convention. They got to accomplish what most campaigns have 8 months to do. So I'm not saying they can't do it, but people are excited about the party, feeling better about yourself. You know, we have a woman, a non-white woman, and people are genuinely and understandably excited about that. But we also got a locked and entrenched opponent who's got a large part of the country behind him. Are going to pull out. They don't care what's true, what's fair, or anything else. They got to be ready for that at every point. And all I'm saying is, Democrats, is enjoy yourself, feel good, but it's tough sledding ahead, and let's get together and get this thing done.
Well, I didn't say Kamala won the campaign in 48 hours, but give her about three more months and she will. More Devil's Advocates, a fine guest, Angela Lang from Black Leaders Organizing Community.
The Devil's Advocates, never personal, only politics.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Hump Day edition. Plain old Wednesday. Got a fine guest who has joined us live via stream. She is Angela Lang, the executive director of Block, Black Leaders Organizing Community. I'm trying to do that by memory, Angela. Hopefully I got that right. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
You did. Thanks for having me.
Thank Angela, you. I got to tell you, my mood has changed dramatically in the last 72 hours. I was a little morose last week, and suddenly you can't rain on my parade this week. Angela, what's your mood like? You're one of the people actually doing the hard work out there in the community, knocking on the doors. Has your mood changed?
I've had so much what I call emotional whiplash in the last 2 weeks that it's been hard to keep up. And there are times that it just felt very dark and depressing, especially after the assassination attempt and would that rile up his base? Was there going to be, you know, retaliation? I think folks were kind of scared and nervous for a minute. And then with this news that not only President Biden stepping aside, but the presumptive nominee, now that she has enough delegates, basically, is Vice President Kamala Harris. And to see how people are responding to her, the fact that people organized Zooms with 44,000 people, Black Women for Kamala had 44,000 people, and they raised close to $2 million in 2 hours, like all of these things. And then Black men said, we're going to do the same thing the next day, and everybody else is organizing. And they're taking it upon themselves. And I think this is the first time this whole election cycle that we've seen this level of engagement and excitement. And I think it's great timing. I was very nervous about if Biden steps aside, and, you know, I definitely would have preferred a different candidate. But I was like, I think it's too late, y'all. I don't know if we can do this. But it had to be Kamala. It had to be her. For lots of reasons. One, there's limited time to build a presidential campaign. She has an advantage by already being a part of the ticket. Clearly, she can fundraise with those fundraising numbers. But also, she's the current vice president, the first Black woman vice president. There could be no leapfrogging her with, you know, say, a white man from California, right? Like, that couldn't happen, because then you would actually lose the backbone of the Democratic Party, which is our aunties and grandmas in the Black community, and her sorority, which is a lot of folks. So it's great to see so much enthusiasm, and I'm curious to see how this continues into November, but I don't think it's stopping anytime soon.
Angela Lang, 1 week ago, the Republicans held their convention in Milwaukee, and what did you perceive the mood to be amongst Milwaukee communities? Because the Republicans weren't there to be embraced by the North Side, was my impression.
Not at all. I mean, that was also on the backdrop of, you know, Milwaukee call or Trump calling Milwaukee a horrible city, right? So I think there was already a certain, I think, frustration even hosting this thing. There's been folks like myself that have been, I think, vocal for the last 2 years. And I think a lot of folks were very frustrated with the increased law enforcement, you know, these folks that aren't really supporting any businesses. They for dang sure were not supporting Black and brown businesses. I heard they weren't tipping well. So I think there's a lot of animosity and just frustration, and people are upset that the city leadership decided to have this. And it was at the detriment to the community. And let's also not forget that we lost one of our own community members in Sam Sharp Jr.'s killing from an out-of-state police officer. So I think the general consensus of folks that I talked to, they said it was a pain to get downtown. It was a ghost town. And they feel frustrated that it felt that folks extracted from our city but didn't really leave anything good behind.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Angela Lang, Executive Director of BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Angela, appreciate you coming in. With regards to the RNC, it was a ghost town. I mean, outside of the security zone, the bars and restaurants, the retail businesses were all very slow. How should we react to the mayor, the county executive, the local politicians who, you know, encouraged us and wanted us to come and sold us on, you know, a $200 million impact? If that doesn't come to fruition, Angela, what should the proper reaction of the citizenry be?
Great question. As someone that has hated this thing since day one and has talked to folks, and I will say I have not held my tongue or really kind of minced words in my disappointment, specifically with the mayor. I think he has been one of the most vocal folks. He's also the mayor of Milwaukee. It's in his city. And I hold him the most responsible, quite frankly, understanding that an unhoused man was killed by an out-of-state cop. There was homeless sweeps with, you know, downtown, and the out-of-state cop wouldn't have even been here. And then when a lot of us vocal folks had said, we don't even want this thing here, the main pushback was, it'll be good for the economy. And even that didn't happen. So it's whether you're, you know, a fiery leftist like me that didn't want this and saw a tragedy writing on the wall waiting to happen, or if you're a small business owner that doesn't really care about politics, but you were directly impacted by losing a week of decent revenue that you were promised in the middle of summer in Milwaukee, that can be really detrimental to some small businesses. So I, in terms of accountability, I'm very frustrated, especially after the shooting. I've been frustrated by some of the comments and reaction from the mayor saying, well, the police officer saved someone's life, with no acknowledgement that we lost a community member. I have been saying that there needs to be a DOJ investigation because of all of the law enforcement that was here, and we need to get down to the bottom of it. And I think there needs to be accountability from our city leadership.
Angela, certainly opportunity costs, you know, it's not a zero sum game. I mean, some places may have had more revenue, other places had less. And, you know, you're giving up your normal Milwaukee, you know, July revenue, and there's no place better in the world than Milwaukee in July. Do you buy into any of the, well, this is also for the future, for, you know, future conventions and future businesses and, you know, and showcasing Milwaukee to the world? Does that ease any of your concerns?
Not to me, quite frankly. I've heard folks that said, oh, this is putting Milwaukee on the map. I would argue Milwaukee's been on the map all the time. It's great that now folks are starting to wake up and embrace our city a little bit more. But I don't think that we can actually, one, really quantify how this builds our reputation. But then also, I don't think that we can actually quantify what that looks like. Oh, this will help in the future. Can't really put a value or a dollar amount to really quantify that or to prove if that actually is happening. Again, I'm glad that folks are seeing the beauty of our city as a lifelong Milwaukeean by choice. But I don't think it actually benefited or outweighed some of the challenges that we had, unfortunately.
Well, we put a cigarette out on the RNC, and of course, the tenor has changed. Kamala Harris now, the Democratic presidential candidate. We've talked about the money, you know, over $100 million, like $126 million since Sunday of small donors, like 60% first-time contributors. I mean, this is amazing. You talked about the 44,000 Black women on Zoom and the men organizing as well. What are you seeing specifically? Are you seeing an uptick in the volunteerism? Is people getting more involved? What's it looking like on the ground from your end, Angela?
Yeah, we were actually just having this conversation about an hour or so ago in our office, and folks are saying, yeah, we hear folks that want to volunteer. They want to get involved. They are trying to plug in. one of our ambassadors said that when they were doing outreach and texting for our Wellness Wednesday, we're not even talking about politics today. We text out Wellness Wednesday. Hey, take a walk in the park. People were responding, how can I get a Kamala Harris yard sign? So people are fired up. People want to find ways to plug in. I can imagine the Democratic Party is getting real busy and having to navigate this influx of volunteers. But I think that's a good problem to have. And it shows, you know, again, people are organizing themselves. Non-political folks were on this call saying, nurses, check in. I'm not political, but can I organize my industry? And I think that's a really beautiful thing. And I think that's very, very telling. And again, I don't think this momentum is stopping anytime soon.
Angela Lang from Block, I do want to turn back to the RNC for just a moment. The Republicans opened up a field office, and when I say open it up, they rented a field office over on MLK. I noted they, you know, sort of got shamed into opening it one of the days of the convention. But Trump, literally off the cuff on stage during his final night, Thursday night, said, you know, I'm here to buy your votes. Do you think there was any goodwill established by the Republican Party towards communities of color in Milwaukee while they were here?
No. Short answer, no. And that office, you know, every time I go by it, it's empty. If there are people in it, I'm just going to say it doesn't look like the residents in that neighborhood in Bronzeville are there. There's usually white men and whatnot. And I remember I watched all 93 minutes of that rambling speech because I wanted to see the tone. This man had a near-death experience. Does that change his demeanor? Does that change how he sees people more? Is he, you know, more compassionate? And it started that way. And then I watched all of it. And when he said, listen, I'm trying to buy your vote, I'm going to be honest about that, I literally was like, cut the ad now. Because I think people need to know that. And I think it goes to show this kind of extractive type of tactics that the Republican Party uses. They had their convention here. They're trying to extract a little bit of votes. What did they leave behind with the convention? That's to be determined from the economic impact. They're trying to literally just buy our votes. Like, it's clear as day. And, you know, seeing that office largely go empty, it's one thing to have an office, but also don't insult us and thinking that our political analysis isn't smart enough to know that you're the same party that is putting together these harmful policies against our community and also behind voter suppression. So how are we supposed to vote for you if you're quite literally making it hard for us to vote? We understand who's responsible for that. And I think it's offensive to know, to think that we aren't connecting those dots.
Angela, how offensive do you find it when they characterize the Vice President Kamala Harris, now the presumptive Democratic nominee, as a DEI hire?
So that new, I think, phrase that folks like to say of like, oh, that's a DEI hire, it's just code for the N-word. And they want to say that, but this is like a more palatable way. It's really what they mean. And I feel like we saw that with other mayors, you know, Black mayors, and understanding that that is a very loaded phrase. And I feel like it is really what they want to say is the N-word with the hard R, but they know they can't really get away with that. And I think it's wholly offensive. And I think it erases her experience, her career, all the things that she's done. And to reduce this accomplished Black woman to simply a DEI hire is offensive. It's not credible. Look at her resume, look at her receipts, whether you agree with her or not. She is a person of substance. And I think they're trying to just strip that away. And again, the more they kind of say that, the more Black folks hear it, we understand what you're really trying to say. And I think it's, again, going to backfire.
And Angela, obviously, Barack Obama overcame racism to be elected twice president of the United States. Hillary had less success overcoming the sexism, or at least that's how I think many perceive her failure to win the higher office. Angela, Kamala's got two big strikes against her from the perception that we are still a misogynist, racist country on some level. Is she the right candidate to overcome?
I say yes. And I know that there's some chatter, and trust me, I have long talked about the dog whistle of electability with Black folks and women and what that means. But at the same time, I think my theme the last couple of days is that multiple things can be true. We can acknowledge that we live in a country that is heavily racist and sexist and misogynistic at times, but that also doesn't mean that she shouldn't be the nominee and that we shouldn't even try to even break that glass ceiling, right? We can have a realistic perspective of the political landscape that we're in, but that doesn't mean that she's not viable. That doesn't mean we should try. That doesn't mean, oh, well, it's too risky. I think all of that, multiple things can be true, but I think this could be a real path to actually making history in November. And it's not lost on me that it is happening in this current political climate as well. But I understand people's frustrations. Trust me, as a Black woman, I always worry about Black candidates and how far people actually are able to rely on them and have trust and faith in them. But I think this is different. And I also think that we can break that glass ceiling if we want to. We can acknowledge the barriers that she has, but we can also be the ones to change that for her too.
Angela, last 30 seconds. Any preference for Harris's VP pick?
Honestly, I would love, and I just had this conversation, I would love Julian Castro. I know he's not part of the conversations, but I've always loved him and had a lot of respect for him. That would be ideal. Senator Warren, again, don't see that, but I'll be eager to see who she picks and how they continue to work together. I think you need someone to match her energy too.
Angela Lang, Block Executive Director. I'd like to thank Friend of the Devil's Advocates. Thank you so much for answering the call, Angela.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, y'all.
Thank you, Angela.
Folks, phone lines are open. Start dialing 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open. Go on there next. Talk or text. Hit us up. 844-967-2789.
Dom, I would like to point out at the Kamala Harris rally in Milwaukee yesterday, a tone change in the music. We went from like freedom rock to Janet Jackson.
Freedom rock? Well, you heard all the classics, you know, the classic rock and roll getting played at the RNC when the teleprompters were all going down. That poor old man band played the hell out of it. But yeah, man, I like the mix up.
I didn't hear any Kid Rock at Kamala's rally yesterday. Just
no,
saying.
Dude, no.
844-967-2789. Going to get to the phones in just a moment. Dom, sort of carrying forth this theme, and thank you, Angela Lang from Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, for joining us on the air. Brian Kilmeade, righty-whitey talker on the Foxy News, and he's also got a radio show. Fox News host Brian Kilmeade recently made an eyebrow-raising comment on Wednesday's episode of the Foxy Friends about Vice President, now presumptive 2024 Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris. On Wednesday, Harris, who is a graduate of a historically Black college and a member of the historically Black Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority, well, she's already addressed the Zeta Phi Beta sorority's annual convention in Indianapolis, Indiana. And while Harris won't be attending Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's speech, that's already occurred as well, Dom, you know, his joint speech to Congress, she will be meeting with him in a one-on-one prior to the address. But Kilmeade made no mention of Harris's solo meeting with Netanyahu, while criticizing her decision to not attend his joint address. And he notably used a decades-old descriptor for Black Americans when describing Zeta Phi Beta. Here is how he is quoted, Kilmeade. She will not show up for the Prime Minister's joint session of Congress. She'd rather address, in the summer, a sorority, a colored sorority. Like she can't get out of that, Kilmeade said. Now, Fox News has pushed back and said he said a college sorority, but there are many Black reporters that said that ain't what he said. My point would be, they can barely keep the racist words off their lips. It is so hard for them not, as Angela Lang, they want to use the N-word with the hard R. And I think Kilmeade, you know, he is shown himself to be typical. of mostly the sentiment over on Fox News. Got more you want to add to this point, Dom? Defend the man in any way?
The Fox News spokesperson disputed that he said colored, insisted he said college sorority instead. You know, the audio's out there. I guess we can judge for yourself.
They have actually linked the audio, but I didn't have time to dig all the way through it. 844-967-2789. It wouldn't be a shocker if Kilmeade said something like that, would it?
No. And as mentioned, the college sorority is kind of redundant, is it not?
844-967-2789. Greatest radio show ever. Redundant? We don't think so. Al from Milwaukee. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Al.
Gentlemen, nice talking to you again.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I listen, but I don't call in. We don't have an agreement on how we think.
How about
I just wanted to mention,
dropping out and Kamala becoming the nominee, L? That was, I'm very happy about this.
That could happen. I said that was the best thing that could happen because Joe was losing a lot of people because of his health situation, and he was working too hard and not allowing his cabinet to be doing a lot of the work that he was doing. But either way, I think he did the best thing for everyone, especially himself and his family. I met him in 1973 in Delaware, and we had a very long, nice talk. He's a heck of a man, and I support him, and I support what he did. But I was upset with the police department in Milwaukee, because my office is on King Drive and Reservoir, and there were people allowed to come into our city and drive up and down Dr. Martin Luther King Drive waving Confederate flags and yelling at people from their cars. And I called the police, and I called the mayor's office and what have you. But as I told one sergeant, we pay taxes, and the police department is supposed to be protecting us. When you leave downtown going north on King Drive, less than six blocks, you're in a predominantly minority community, and they allowed this to take place on one day. And it was shut down after I made those calls. But the point is, they should, instead of protecting those people who were visiting, they should have put their emphasis on protecting us who pay taxes and pay them and the city of Milwaukee. And I think that they did just the opposite. The other part of that was the so-called $200 million economic benefit we were going to get out of it. We didn't do that because a lot of businesses in fear shut down, especially the minority businesses. And a lot of companies told their employees not to come to work from home because of this convention. And if that's the way that they're going to run conventions, we will never benefit from them. So I just wanted to voice that opinion.
Al, appreciate your opinion. Can't tell you how individual shop owners treated their employees, but I can tell you from my own eyewitness accounts, there were no Republicans out drinking, partying, carousing, eating in the way that normal Milwaukeeans would on any given July day. So I don't think it was a staffing issue. I think it was an RNC issue. More Devil's Advocates on the other side, a happier happy hour, more of your calls. Feeling good up in here about Kamala Harris, the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party.